World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So, you know, I don't really know what kind of mood I'm in today. I got my war hat on. I got my shirt that says, I can't even read it anymore. Some people call me Coach and other people call me Grampy. So, kind of one of those moods today. So I'm sorry if I throw up all over you this morning. It's, hey, right off the top of the bat, no show Christmas morning. I'm pretty crude, but I'm not going to make y'all get up on Christmas morning and do a show. So we'll be able to take that day off. And man, what a time to be alive. And I did a little bit of a rant before we went live here. I'm so sick of doom and gloom Christianity. It makes me want to barf. Make me want to barf. See, the Ohio State Buckeyes 2 weeks, a month ago, whatever, got beat by Michigan. Michigan is horrible. They got beat by Michigan because they were afraid to lose. They played not to lose and lost. And now they're in the national championship. I pick them to win the whole thing. And they played like wild banshees. And they beat the crap out of Tennessee. Say, Coach, I don't care about football. Why are you talking about that? Well, you dummy, hang on there. I'll tell you why. Because attitude's everything, my friends. If you think you can, or if you think you can't, you're right. And I look across the spectrum of American Christianity, and all I see is, I see two things. Doom and gloom. It's only going to get worse. We're soon going to be out of here. We lose. Blah, 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 blah. I see doom and gloom. Or I see the bless me crowd who's oblivious to what's going on. And you see very, very little in the middle. And I'm kind of curious. This happens a lot. So don't, some things I say to you, if you take them personally, that's up to you. Don't take them personally. Okay, don't take them personally. I hear regularly from downtrodden people who, are you ready? Used to be in the queue. And they're not in the queue anymore. They don't come in here anymore. Well, where have you been? Well, okay, yeah. Oh, so the Bible says it was so to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And you mean to tell me you don't get up in the morning and tune in anymore? You mean you don't watch it during the, you don't watch it on your way to work? You don't listen to it on the way to work? Who are you fellowshipping with? Who are you assembling with? And then you call them, then you contact me and whine about what's going on in your life. Oh, I could run off of a list about 15. You want me to do it? No, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. You want to be discouraged? Hang out alone. You want to be encouraged? Join the team. Because when you get in here, there's, anybody want to argue with that? There's encouragement galore in this huddle. And if you find yourself struggling, it's because you are not filling up your tank in the morning. And I'm not talking about how wonderful and magnificent Coach Dave Live is. That's not the point. That's not the point. This place is a place of strengthening and encouragement. And when sometimes when people get punched in the eye, they go sit in the dark and put a patch on. Somebody say amen. Say amen. And then the next thing you know, they're gone. And then I get a text. Coach Dave, would you pray for you? Where the hell you been? Right? So I'm not trying to beat up on any of you out there. I'm just giving you the reality of life, man. Just the reality of life. I had an amazing thing. Stay with me. It's going to be good today, okay? I promise you. You may have to put on your steel-toed shoes, but it's going to be good for you, right? calm down, Coach. We had our big family reunion last night. Pull up the picture of, just says family. Our big Christmas party last night. First of all, I'm not that fat. It's the way I'm right in the front in the middle. Same shirt on. is by that beautiful woman. I'm really not that fat. That's my brother Bill sitting beside me. And that's not even all of us, but that's who came to our Christmas party last night. Pretty cool. Now, wait a minute. It's just the adults. Coach E standing back in the corner, lost 100 and whatever pounds, I believe, right? The old dog. And so that's all of us last night. This is why I'm talking about this morning, okay? And then pull up the other picture. This is just some of the kids. They weren't all there, but where's my mom and dad? This is the fruit of Omi and Opie. These children came out of my mom and dad's loins. These kids right here came out of my mom and dad's loins.
Awesome.
Huh? So folks, when are we going to start? Awesome. When are we going to start thinking generationally again? When are we going to think about it? Now, Paul, I'm going to tell you, I'm not whining. I'm not complaining. I'm not sucking on my thumb. Go back to the first picture. None of those people even know what I do. None of them watch Coach Dave live. None of them. Now, they all think I'm a freak. They all think I'm an idiot. They all think, like last night, I started talking about nicotine. Dr. Paul, you should have seen their faces. Yeah, I said, listen, I told you about COVID. I told you about, I'm telling you now. Do some research. If I say it, they think I'm crazy. Are you anybody with me? Okay. I promise you, I'm not sad. I'm not sucking on the thumb. I'm not saying, woe is me. I'm not saying, easy, kind of. Prophet is out on in his own, my own family. They don't have any idea what we do there. And of course, I don't beat them up. I just try to tell them the truth every once in a while if they ask. And so I'm heading someplace today, okay? We hang with me a second, because I think this is all really, really important. And I don't know. I made some good notes here. Here's where I think we are. This is my perspective. Folks, there's a kingdom coming. There is a kingdom coming. Listen to me. Jesus told us that the kingdom of God. Okay, quiz time. Somebody answer this question. Get ready. Jesus said that the kingdom was where?
At hand.
Within us.
Within. Within. Now, hang on. He also said it's at hand, meaning you can get it. Anybody need a hammer? Well, I got one on hand. Anybody need a car? I got one on hand. It's right there. I can go. I got to walk out and get in it and drive it, but it's at hand. The kingdom is within, and the kingdom is within at hand. And for the most part, church doesn't get it. Church preaches it's where we're going. We're going. It says in Corinthians, though, where would it be? Romans, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Where is that, Spencer? Look that up for me. Because some of you think I'm lying, right? Or some of you are sleeping and didn't get up this morning because you got so many problems in your life that you just want to lay in bed and worry about them. I'm just telling you the truth. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on, everyone. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Folks, the kingdom of God is available right now. Right now. It ain't someplace you're going. Now, hang on. It may be someplace you go when you die. But I tell you what, heaven's already in me. Heaven's already. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And it did. It did. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. It's available right now. It's not someplace you go when you die. Oh, my goodness. How do I start this? Pull up number one. Folks, the kingdom of God is right now. I'm sorry, doom and gloomers. It's manifesting right now. It's manifesting right now. The kingdom of God is manifest. Hang on, Spencer. Pull up that word for me. It's number four. Number four. Manifest. It's manifesting right now. Kingdom of God. The act of disclosing what is secret, unseen, or obscure. Discovery to the eye or to the understanding. The exhibition of anything by clear evidence. To display as the manifestation of God's power in creation. See, you don't see God's power until it shows up. And then afterward you say, wow, that was God. That was God. Wow. Anybody ever have any of those God winks in your life? Having those God winks? Say, man, that was God. Huh? Well, of course. That's how he manifests. The secret manner in which acts of mercy ought to be performed requires this public manifestation of them at the great day. Cowboy Dave could be down in Swannanoa praying his tongue out, praying for food, praying for propane. But somebody's got to provide the food and provide the propane. That's the manifestation of the kingdom of God. That's how it operates. Somebody gets a vision, somebody casts the vision, and the Lord runs. Write the vision and make it plain that the ones who read it may run for it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Habakkuk 1. And I'm going to tell you this, my friends. There is no vision in the American church. Somebody say amen. Sister, you don't have to say amen to make me feel good. Anybody out there? The American church has given up. We're done. We're out of here. See y'all later.
Amen, amen, Coach.
Well, I know it's amen. I know, right? Can I show you why? Go number four. Is that where I wanted to go, number four? Number four. Manifestation. Manifestation is the natural appearing of the supernatural, is the manifestation. It's the appearing of the invisible into the natural. Can you not find that, Spence? Is that not right there? Number five? Is that what I, no, number four. Oh, that's stupid. How can that be? No, that can't be it. Yeah, there you go. Huh? Boy, oh boy, where is it? This is long. Scrolling down. Hey, Spencer, let's make this easy for me because of the notes I made for you. Romans, is it 19? Okay, now let's do it. Let's do it. Hang on. Going to go fast. There is therefore now no condemnation to the which are in Christ Jesus who walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life. It's a law, by the way. The law of the Spirit of life. There's a law of the Spirit of life. You see that? There's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And what's it done? It's made me free from that other law. What's that other law, Paul? Well, that other law is the law of sin and death. The soul that sins, it shall die. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from that one. What the law couldn't do, it was weak through flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The kingdom of God within you and me. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. In fact, you go to your church, and many churches, they're all talking about fleshly things. How to get rich, how to get happy, how to get wealthy, how to get stealthy. I'll go get all this stuff. When the Bible says just the opposite. For those people who are after the flesh are after the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. How many of us daily are trying to do the things of the Spirit? Why? For being carnally minded is death. What? Yeah, if you're just trying to live a good carnal life, if you're trying to have a life enhancement gospel, that's death, baby. But to be spiritually minded is life. Whoa! And peace. Man, oh man, can you think of about 15 people who aren't in here anymore? You know why they're not in here anymore? Because they got overwhelmed by the carnal. Wow. So then, they that are in the flesh can't please their daddy. Hang on a minute. Am I stepping on too many toes? This is pretty good, isn't it? Stepping on too many toes out there? You doom and gloomers, those whiny, miny, well, you're in the flesh. You can't please God. But ye are not in, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit. And if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you, how about that, man? Kingdom of God's in me. Now, if any man has not spirit of Christ, he don't belong to Christ. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Life triumphs over death. But the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you live through the spirit, mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. For as many are called, okay, here we go. For as many as led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hang on. Jeff, now see how smart you are. How do you identify the sons of God? It's right in front of you. The ones who are led by the Spirit of God. Those are the sons of God. But you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Come on! The whole world's trying to scare you. But you have received the spirit of adoption. Where we say, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Because the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are. I'm sorry. Can I say the truth? Spencer, give me a thumbs up. Somebody let me say the truth. Say, it's okay. You'll still be friends with me. Huh? Huh? Who are the children of God? Who are the children of God? The ones who have his spirit. Not somebody over in the Middle East. Sorry. Over in the Middle East, they can have the Spirit of God. Do they have the Spirit of God?
Boom.
Oh, now I'm meddling. Hang on. Here's where I'm heading today, okay? So the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Well, how did I become a child of God? I was adopted into the family. He adopted me. I'm now every bit as much a child of God as Moses. Adopted me. Hey, folks, do you show favoritism to your children? Any of you have foster kids out there and you love your own kids more than you love the foster kids? You ever adopt anybody? Say, well, I don't really love them quite as much because they're not my bloodline, but that's all right. No. You adopt children and they become your family. You don't go around and say, this is my adopted son. Here's our real son, but here's our adopted son. You wouldn't do that. We do it in the church. We do it in the church. Oh, yeah. The Jews, they're the real children of God. The rest of us, we just got adopted. We just came in out of children's services here. Somebody say amen. Give me a thumbs up. Half of you are mad. Half of you are mad. The rest of you who aren't mad, I'm say boom. All right. Thanks, Jimmy. For the Spirit itself bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. We are. Who? Those of us who by adoption. Hang on. Oh, here it comes. And if we're children, then we're in the will. We're in his will. And we're heirs. Heirs of God. Not only that, our brother Jesus has to share it with us. We're joint heirs. If Jesus gets it, we get it too. We're heirs together with him. Do you see it? If so be that we suffer with him, what's the big deal? We're heirs with him. We suffer with him. Whatever happens to him happens to us. We're all in this together. For I reckon, old hillbilly. Did you guys know Paul was a hillbilly? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time can't even be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Okay, here's where I'm going today. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. Who does? Hey, Gino, Who waits for the manifestations? Somebody help me out there. Who waits for the manifestation? Anybody help me out there?
Creation.
Everybody. The world is waiting for God's people to show up. You see what's going on down with Cowboy Dave? You're seeing the manifestation of the sons of God, and it's overcoming anything the government could ever do. The manifestation of the Son of God. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. This is deep. Sorry, it's getting close to Christmas. I want to tie a knot together, then I'll open it up. So, pull up number one. Manifest the whole creation is groaning, waiting for God's folks to show up. Excuse me, I didn't mean to cough in your ear. I don't have to read this whole thing. Scroll down a minute, Spencer, so I can find out where we're at. Okay, go ahead. What do I want to say here? Keep going down there. The Lord just gave me this. I'm trying to find it because I think it's way down there. Here's what I'm looking for, Spencer. We are going to be called the repairers of the breach. There it is. Repairers of the breach. Wow. I'm not getting at the beginning of this thing. Where is it? We shall be known as the repairers. There it is. And the Lord shall guide thee and me continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones. How do your bones get fat? And those shall be like watered gardens, like spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they, here come them men of God, the manifestation of those men of God. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And they shall be called the repair of the breach. Folks, that's Christianity right there. Repairs of the breach. The restorer of paths to dwell in. Who is? He's going to raise them up. He's going to raise them up. They shall be the old way. Huh? Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. What are you talking about? Hey, Spencer, what's a breach? What's a breach? Number two, it's got it for you there. The act of breaking or state of being broken, a rupture, a break, gap. The space between the severed parts of the solid body parted by violence as a breach in a garment or in a wall. It's a violation of the law. The violation or non-fulfillment of a contract. The non-performance of a moral duty. Somebody boom! Huh? Somebody boom! The non-performance of a moral duty.
Boom.
Non-performance of a duty is being a breach of obligation. They're murdering babies. Is the church doing anything, or is there a breach there? They're cutting off little boys' penises. Is there a breach there? Is it a moral duty? Separation between friends by means of enmity, difference, quarrel, infraction, injury, invasion. Hey, Spence, what are we going to be called? What again are we going to be called? We're going to be called repairers of the breach, aren't we? Didn't it say, yeah, and they that shall be thee shall build up the old traditions. You're going to build and restore the old tradition. You ain't getting raptured out of here, baby, till you build and restore the old waste places. You're going to raise up foundations of many generations. Hey, Spence, throw those kids up there again. Throw my grandkids up there again. Say, where is it? Standalone picture, huh? No, not that's all. Those are all of us who've let them down. Go back, Spencer. All those, let those kids down. Amen. We let them down. And it's our job to be what? The restorers of the breach. To reestablish the kingdom of God here on earth. Boy, that makes people nervous because most of them are being taught that you're going to be evacuated. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Well, we don't mix religion and politics here, Coach Dave. We just stand for the sacred and the righteous and the holy in our church. Oh, yeah? Really? Well, dude, you're performing malfeasance. Because you're supposed to be a restorer of the breach. You're supposed to be restoring the paths to dwell in. You're supposed to be teaching your children that men marry women for life and reproduce as many children as you possibly can. That's rebuilding the old waste oil. That's what we are supposed to do. But somewhere along the line, they convinced all of us, okay, I'm going to open it up here in a second. Pull up number 8. You guys like Vody Bakum? I like Vody Bakum. Man, I got the coughs this morning. This is 4 minutes. Put it at 1.5 speed. This is good. Talking about weak men. Weak men. Go ahead. Todd Friel.
Do you believe it was Vody Bakum?
Hey, listen, slow it down. Do it regular speed. It's worth hearing. It's worth 4 minutes.
Come, who said, if you can't say amen, at least you can say ouch. Here is an opportunity to say ouch, preaching on biblical manhood, specifically mediocre manhood in the evangelical church.
Modern American Christianity is the only place in our culture where we will tolerate this cognitive dissonance between a man who will say, I've been walking with God 30, 40, 50 years, and I know nothing. Because anywhere else, I don't care what, you name the field. Name the field where in our culture, and I'm talking about just anybody, just lost pagans. Name the field. I don't care if it's bricklaying. I don't care if it's truck driving, whatever it is. If there's a man on the job who says, I've been doing this for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And another young man comes to the job and says, hey, I've heard you've been doing this 30 years, 40 years. I know if there's anybody who can show me the ropes, you can show me the ropes.
All right, there was no reason to actually stop that clip except to give you a warning. Just brace yourself.
And we'd all say, yeah, of course, if he's been doing it that long, you ought to be able to come to him. He ought to be able to show you the ropes. Well, what if the young man comes to the older man who's been doing this for 30, 40, 50 years and says, brother, you've been laying bricks for 40 years and I've just started. Can I just come alongside you and watch you so that I can learn how to be a bricklayer? Because I'm sure you're a master at it now. Oh, I ain't no master bricklayer. I don't know nothing about no bricks.
Now, before Vody delivers a complete kidney punch, what would you think about that bricklayer who said that to the younger man? I mean, you're the manager. You're the foreman of the construction site, and you overhear this conversation. The bricklayer with decades of experience says to the younger, nah, I can't learn anything from me. Wouldn't you start to ask questions like, what have you been doing for the last 30 years? What have you been doing to fill the days? Have you been laying any bricks at all? And maybe you'd start to think, I wonder if that's why we're not getting the jobs done when we're supposed to. Interesting question.
Wouldn't you, as the foreman,
pull that fellow aside and want to know why he hasn't learned anything? thousands and thousands of hours as a bricklayer, you've learned nothing. Most likely, if you were the foreman, you would say, you're no bricklayer at all. And second of all, you might be inclined to say, you're fired.
But how about this? You've been walking with God 20, 30, 40 years. Sir, can I come alongside you as a younger man and you mentor me in doctrine, theology, Bible, and church history? What's the response? I ain't no preacher. It's the only place in America where we accept something so ludicrous. Where a man can say, I've been walking with God 30, 40 years, and I proudly declare, I know nothing. I'm ignorant. I'm a babe in Christ. A 40-year-old baby, and I'm not ashamed of it.
What would you think of that bricklayer? What would you think? Now, what should we think of the Christian man who describes himself like that?
For the whole creation groaneth, waiting for Christian bricklayers to show up. All right, come on in. I'll sit here a minute. I got more. Manifestation, the appearing of God's men on the scene. Your church is teaching you to evacuate. You ready to evacuate? Come on, somebody come on in here. Say, oh, me, or oh, my, or oh, you, or oh, us, whatever. Because it's the truth. We have the most defeatist attitude in the history of Christianity right now. Christianity has thrived under persecution. And if you can't look out on the culture and society and see that we're supposed to be repairers of the breach, we're supposed to be laying the bricks for the future foundation for our children. And most guys in here, I hate to say this, have probably never, ever stood up and prayed publicly. Don't know how to do it. Like, Pastor Joe, could you lead us in prayer, Pastor Joe? Pastor Joe needs to say, nope, I got laryngitis, dude. You're up. Come on in, Joe.
So, protector of the breach. Is this why the 300 was chosen?
Repairers of the breach. That's right. That's right. Hey, folks. I'm telling you. I don't know where the defeatist attitude. See, Christian men are needed now more than ever. And I ask yourself this. When you go to church, what does your pastor train? The whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God sitting in that stinking church. Where are they? Whole creation's waiting for them. Jeff, come on in.
Yeah, great topic, Coach. When I'm out there, I overload people's brains, especially the so-called believers. Give them scripture, encouragement, and stuff like that. They cannot handle it. They cannot handle it because they're immature.
They're not even Christians.
Well, yeah, I like to read Ephesians 4, and regarding to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Thank you.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to play something for you. Sit down, Lauren. I'll be right with you. This just popped into me. Pull up number seven. Pull up number seven. This is long and this is good. This is a street preacher who goes to a Christmas parade and preaches repentance. Watch this. Go ahead.
With you. I just feel judgment. You telling me to get out of my sin.
Where do you see that scripturally?
What do you mean?
You're hijacking.
What kind of parade is this?
A Christmas parade.
The whole parade is about Jesus' birth.
You've ruined this for a lot of people.
One person gets saved, all of heaven is rejoicing.
Thanks for ruining my parade.
See, God loves you so much.
It's obnoxious as
f***. Are you serving yourself or are you serving
If you Christ? Think about it, you're trying to talk me out of preaching the gospel.
Who's doing his Jesus.
Who's doing
I
his will?
The Lord in my life, what?
I don't disagree with anything that you're saying, but what you're doing is obnoxious.
You're contradicting yourself.
No, I'm not.
You agree with everything I'm saying, but you're telling me that I shouldn't be doing it.
We went to our city's annual Christmas parade to preach about Jesus. After all, Christmas is a celebration of Jesus' birth, so it seems like everyone would be excited to hear about that. Well, not so much. The enemy was working through several unbelievers who openly opposed the gospel, some even using harsh words and profanity. And just like when Jesus walked the earth, we also had a few religious people who spent more time and effort than the unbelievers in trying to silence the gospel. In spite of all the attempts to bring discouragement, God outdid the enemy and amazed us by sending tons of encouragement, comforting hugs, and people expressing gratitude towards him. Hang around until the end to see someone get saved who 2 months ago was into New Age and strongly against Christianity. Make sure to like, subscribe, and click the notification bell.
Christmas is all about Jesus. It's not about big guy in a red suit, but truly it's about the birth of Jesus Christ, about how he came into the world. You see, once Jesus, he was in heaven with the Father. The Bible says that he was with God, that he is God. Jesus loves each and every person, and that's why. Hi, how are you?
I'm going to give you a hug. I'm
okay.
So excited you're here.
God bless you. Yes, ma'am.
I want to.
Yeah, for sure. God bless you.
Thank you for what you do.
Yeah, thank you. All glory to him.
What's your name?
What's up, man? Nicholas.
Nicholas what?
Bowling.
That's not right. I hear
that's
you.
That's not my name?
All the time.
That's
dude.
My name.
It's obnoxious as f***.
Okay.
You should stop it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your opinion, but Jesus loves you, bro. Listen, if people don't hear the message of salvation, then they're going to be eternally separated from God forever.
Is he with you?
Yeah, he is.
Jesus is a false prophet, and God is a superstition.
So why do you say that? Help him, Lord. No more sin, no more murder, no more terrible things that are going on, tornadoes, earthquakes like the one that just hit California. None of those things are going to be in heaven, and that's where Jesus is preparing a place for us. He's going to separate those who want to remain in sin and those who come out of the sin and come to know him. Hey, man, how's it going?
Cut the mic. This is their moment, not yours.
Whose moment?
All these people that prepared for this parade, all these children that are trying to play music, all these people that are decorating their floats, you're hijacking their moment.
What kind of parade is this?
It's a Christmas parade.
Yeah, Christmas parade. So it's really, the whole parade's about Jesus' birth.
You can have your own moment, but why?
It's not about me, it's about Jesus' birth and about him coming to the world.
You have a microphone right now.
Yeah.
You're making this about you.
No, it's about Jesus.
Okay, you can stop. Put it in the chat.
So Jesus cares about...
Would you find it any different in your local community if you were to stand out and do that? Huh? It's amazing, isn't it? Laura Ann, come on in.
Well, you're going to find that in church. That's what they're doing. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing in church. So they're just reflecting when they go on Sundays. There, and with praying out loud, there's two aspects to it. Growing up in a Catholic, if you grew up in Catholic or Lutheran, the priest was always the one who intercedes for you. Because you're constantly told you're not good enough to talk to God.
You're not religious enough. You can't.
So you need the priest to stand in the gap to forgive you. So they eliminate Jesus. And then you can't pray. And then when you pray from the Spirit and you're praying in a way that there's people that will come after you. And in my own testimony, I mean, I will literally get made fun of in how I pray in front of people. And it's just because and then that deters people from praying out loud.
But listen, Laura Ann, the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Didn't we just read that, Spencer? Can you pull that back up there? Because I could be wrong.
And they don't want that. See, they'll tell you they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Right, and that's exactly what the church is.
The whole creation is groaning, waiting what? For the manifestation of the sons of God. Oh my goodness, Jeff.
I went to
Spencer. We didn't find it. It's Romans 8:19, maybe. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was at the Christmas tree lighting in Fallon. And I went there, Prince Jesus Christ, and people kept, stop it, stop it. Stop disrupting and so forth this way. Then I turn to Jim, they're worshiping a stupid tree and playing secular music.
Jeff, right? For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth earnest expectation. Folks, what does earnest mean? Sorry, Jeff. What's earnest mean? Pull that up there. Earnest. What Webster's earnest. Earnest. Words mean things, folks. No. E-A-R. E-A-R. Earnest. No. E-A-R. At the beginning. E-A-R. Earnest.
S-T.
There it is. Earnest. Ardent in pursuit of an object. Ardent. Warm. Eager, zealous, animated, importunate. Meaning what? They are standing excited, waiting for what? The whole creation groaneth in earnest expectation. They're waiting for the sons of God to show up. Man, oh man. I cut you off, Jeff.
Hey, Coach, I'd like to say something else. I was able to go to pray for the mayor. I laid hands on him and so forth. It's what a great day it was, even though the evil is so permeated. But it was a great honor to lay hands on the mayor.
Waiting for the earnest manifestation, sons of God, Joe Allen.
Well, that last gentleman he just interviewed said what the whole thing was for the children. What's the children getting? Candy. Throwing candy to them, not give them tracts or a Bible or talk about Jesus. They give them candy.
Joe, whose fault is this, Joe? Is it the kids' fault?
No, it's our fault.
Yeah, it's our fault. I'm not poking everybody else in the eye. I'm not poking the atheists in his eye. Because why? Bible says that the whole Spencer, pull that up there again. Somebody help me here if I'm missing something. The whole creation. Is that what it says? The whole creation? What? For the earnest expectation of the creature? That would be everybody. Waited for God's people to show up. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected to the same in hope. But the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage, scroll down, of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And then just show up. Roger.
Now, I've got a question. Is there time and places where the gospel is presented that is offensive to people at that time or place and actually closes their heart to the message?
No. Well, it would close their heart if their heart's cold and hard. There's no place ever that the gospel's not appropriate.
Well, but Dave, I agree that, but I think, you know, even Paul said he adapted his message to the culture, and it was not just the message, it was probably, although I'm reading into that maybe a little bit, his delivery. You know, I believe that there are times and places. If I'm having a wedding, if my child is having a wedding, believe me, the focus is going to be on my daughter at her wedding. And if somebody shows up at her wedding and wants to talk espousing Jesus, I'm probably going to ask him to leave. Okay? That's the wedding. That's something that's important to my family. Private. My guess.
It's private.
I agree it's private, but I'm just saying, is there a time and place for, and are you always effective at the time and place that you're sharing the gospel?
Pull the picture up, Spencer. Hang on, Roger. I'm going to get that. Picture of the family. Can I tell you the truth? A lot of them sighed us.
had a real sigh of relief when the night was over that I didn't say something. I can tell you that. And I can tell you something else. That would have been the most appropriate place to say it.
Well, absolutely. I think, well, you know, Dave, it was like a couple of weeks ago when we had gathered and your daughter spoke up at the end of the gathering. It was absolutely an appropriate time. And it really wasn't a situation for that, but the Holy Spirit touched her and she said some things that needed to be said. So I'm just asking the question. I think that we have to be sensitive at times, and I'm not cowing and I'm not saying the gospel's not important, because you know all we got to do is think of John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist didn't really care too much about saying, being concerned about public sayings. But I do believe we have to assess the time and place at time. I do believe we have to assess, are the people listening at all to the message at that time, or is it time to move on to a different location, be it public or private?
I listen to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's what I do. I listen to the Holy Spirit.
Well, but Dave, I understand, but that listening has to measure up with what Scripture says. And I do believe we have to assess at times where we are, what is going on. Are the people listening? Or as Paul did, he moved on. It's like at the Ohio State football games. There's guys that are preaching the gospel, and I always go up to them and I thank them. For some reason, that seems okay. You know, it's a big crowd. They're milling around. Nobody's real paying attention to anything. It's very public. But yet I think it's the greatest thing in the world that he's there doing that. I really do.
Let me tell you this one. Last night, I'm poking. Yeah, see, Coach Norm up there has lost 105, 110 pounds. Point at him, Spencer, if you can. Clear on the far edge. Clear. There's Coach Norm. Right there. He's lost 100 and some pounds. And he's on a – I don't know if he's listening right now. Norm's always listening. He's on a spiritual journey on his own, getting deeper in his faith every day. And he started a conversation was started with somebody in that picture right there. All those people in that picture related to me. So one of my relatives, and this conversation went on for 10, 15 minutes. And I'm kind of standing on the fringe watching what's going on, thinking, gee, boy, are you wasting your time, Norm? But I'm watching it. Huh? And you know what? I look at the end of the night, you know what's going on? Norm's got her by the hand, praying with her. I about fell out of my freaking chair. So you have to be led by the Holy Spirit, certainly. But I don't know if there is an inappropriate time to talk about Jesus. I understand what you're saying, Roger. I understand. I wouldn't want a street preacher coming in preaching at my daughter's wedding. I understand that. But out in the public, I think it's very appropriate always. Jeff.
Coach, you know, I had the last two, yesterday and last Sunday was kind of different. A week ago on Sunday, we passed out 300 Bibles at that parade in Bladensburg, 300 Bibles walking through the crowd in the front yards, and the people received it well. Then yesterday, I was asked a couple days ago if I'd stay open on Sunday to sell a car, and I've never done it in 15 years. And I just said I wouldn't do it. I'm here 6 days a week. So all of a sudden, you talk about being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm like, all right, I'll do this. Guy traveled in 2 hours across the state of Ohio to come get a car. Ended up tears, wrecked life, things messed up, just bad. And, horrible. Ended up, had prayer with him, and even his sister drove him here. Basically not a non-believer. He worried about her, too. He's worried about his kids, worried about his family, worried about everybody. So ended up in the parking lot out back. Had laid hands on both of them, prayed for him, and she was encouraged. And so was he. We had a good conversation. I was in there for about an hour and a half. And I say all this to say this is because here's a guy that I've known now for about a year, year and a half, always on fire, always wound up, always talking about Jesus, reading his Bible, got his clothes on, his hat on. Now he's just a wreck. And so I think I made some progress with him yesterday, but I didn't say to him sitting at my desk after an hour and a half, I didn't say, hey, go back home and get a hold of your preacher. And I'm going to say this because then I know he won't care. So anybody out there that knows Martin, reach out to him. He's a wreck. I mean, a wreck. And he will appreciate me saying that, mentioning his name. I think I did some good with him yesterday, but he is just, he's in a bad way. I've never seen him like that. He said, JC, I'm down. I said, Martin, do you remember last year at Christmas what you sent me an email? He said, no, what was it? You sent me a video of you standing in front of in downtown Dayton in front of the city hall with your guitar and amplifier singing that song, Mary, Did You Know? And he was all dressed in black, did a great job. People were coming up hugging him. He was sharing Jesus. I said, what happened to Mary, Did You Know? I said, you need to pull that song out tonight when you get home and get back on track, brother. So it was a good day. I'm glad I went. But pray for Martin and call him if you know him.
Amen. Hey, I want to get you in it, but I got this is on my heart. Pull up, pull up number. I'm sorry, I got it up on my screen. Isaiah 58. Where is it? Isaiah 58. So no. I'm sorry. Yeah, there it is. Bear with me here. Cry aloud, spare not, lift your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. If they seek me daily and they delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, forsook not the ordinance of God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted? Why? That word is, should be why. Why have we fasted, say they, and you don't see? Why have we afflicted our soul and you don't even understand? Behold, in the day of your fast, find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fists of the wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is this the fast that I've chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Well, that, you call that a fast? That's acceptable to me? Is not this the fast that I've chosen? Are you ready, folks? Is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of the wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free? That fast might break every yoke? Is not my fast to deal the bread to the hungry? That you bring the poor that are cast out to your house? And when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him? That you hide not yourself from your own flesh? Then if you do that, shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and the righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall return. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Then shall you cry, and he shall say, here I am. If you take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting of the finger, speaking vanity, but if you draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then they're going to listen. The Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy thy soul in the drought. Make fat the bones, and you shall be watered like a garden. You shall bring water, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they shall be of thee, shall build. People like you shall build the old waste places. You shall be raised up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer. Paths to dwell in. Is that the American church? Is that the American church, folks? Craig Mickle, come on in.
Well, in your scripture verse, you mentioned the sons of God. Okay. Sons of God is a broad term for all of creation. Because when Job was tongue lashed by God, he says, where were you when I was creating in the morning stars and the sons of God were claiming for glory? So to narrow it, to think it's just about a mankind, which is part of God's creation. We're not all of it. We're just a part of it. That the manifestation of the sons of God can include the heavenly hosts. Just like Elijah's servant, when he looked up and said, Lord, open up his eyes. And he saw the manifestation of the sons of God over him.
Amen. But the manifestation of the sons of God is for us. We speak on God's behalf. In the culture and the society, we are his emissaries. We are his missionaries. We are missionaries to a lost culture. And the whole culture is waiting for us to show up.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, you know, this question, excuse me, thanks for letting me on. This question keeps arising about the sons of God. You know, in the way I see it is that the difference between your men that are the sons of God and men that aren't the sons of God are the sons of God obey God. It's the men that obey God. They are the children of God and brothers and sisters to Jesus because they do God's will.
Amen.
You see, that there's others. Yeah, they're all the offspring of Adam, but they're not really the sons of God because they're not obeying the Holy Spirit.
Well, you're not a son of God until you be born again of the Spirit of God. That's how you become a son of God. Not everybody is a child of God, folks. When you become born again, you are. Amen. Amen. Mary Beth.
I hope I don't go too long, Coach, but it's kind of a comment question. Okay, so my sister Renee is kind of a freak. You know, she thinks I'm a freak, and it was her birthday, so she texts me a messenger, says, "Would you please remove the, because I had Jesus life."
Okay, we get it. We get it. Okay.
You have to hear that part.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, mom and dad are rolling over in their grave and this and that, and so I gave her the gospel because I felt the Holy Spirit leading me. Now I had somebody else tell me that you shouldn't push the gospel on them. Well, I did because if she's going to come out and say, "Will you take that off your car for my birthday?" It's like, get real. I said, denied, you know, like get real. I'm not going to take it off my car. And she's telling me my mom and dad are going to be offended and rolling over in their graves. But anyway, okay, so I just give her the gospel.
The point is,
because you were talking about the gospel being offensive. And it is an offense. The gospel is an offense.
To those who are perishing.
Yes. And so if you care about them, you're going to give them the gospel. That's how
Mary
I
Beth,
look at
you know
it.
Who it's else like, is perishing, Mary Beth? The people told you not to share the gospel. They're perishing as well. Sorry, I got to move on. Joe Allen.
You get me after the show, Coach.
Roger. Hand still up. Mary Beth, go ahead. Finish, I guess. I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't look, folks.
No, it's okay.
No, okay. That's the hardest part of my job. Hardest part of my job is to understand when we're going down bunny trails. That's the hardest part of my job. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm trying to listen and think for everybody who's listening and listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I don't mean to offend anybody when I cut them off. Doesn't mean your story doesn't matter. Doesn't say it's not important. How about this? You ever want to say to somebody, get to the point? That's why Coach Dave often says, tell us your story, not your life story.
Coach, I'm not offended. I was just trying to say about the gospel.
It's a broad statement. It's never directed to one person. Go ahead.
No, right. I know. I'm just saying, I was trying to point out that the gospel is an offense, but we still need to preach it.
It's an offense to those who perish. Do we read the Bible, folks? Do we read the Bible? They hate it because it's the truth. It's an offense to them. And we're called to go and tell them. Even though, hang on. It says you're going to be hated of all men. Is that, where is that? Dale, Matthew 5? Is that Matthew 5? Where is that? You shall be hated. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel again.
Huh? Put down about verse 11, Coach.
Verse 11, get on down there. You're the salt of the earth. The salt loose, save it, shall be good for nothing. It's henceforth good for nothing. Rejoice. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets which were before you. Who were the prophets? Prophets are those who, they are not those who foretell the future. That's a prophetic act. A prophet is someone who speaks the oracles of God for God. And sometimes when you show up, you are operating under the prophetic when you are speaking truth of God they don't want to hear. Going to be hated of all men because their father is the devil and the works of their father they will do. Oh, man. Still love me? See you tomorrow.